Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the second hour of Eye on the Ball here on KVOI, 10:30 a.m. That was a great call from Pancho. I like those calls because a lot to talk about. They have their opinion. A lot of them are insightful.
And just to hear his devotion, you know, to the team.
Yeah. Disappointed, but, you know, honest about what his assessment was.
But a good fan. I mean, that's what being a fan is all about, is hanging tough with all the disappointments. You know, we've been trying to smell those roses for a long time, you know.
I never have. I never got there. Yeah. Well, you know, I've talked about that, and he referenced it about being a fan. I'm not anymore. I haven't been for a long time. I live okay because of it. I don't worry about who's going to win, who's going to lose.
And now you're excited because Dallas is having a good year.
No, I don't even know. To tell you the truth, I just know the quarterback, Prescott. I know Dez no longer plays there. And I can name a few, but I really don't care anymore. And I have a good life because of it. And I'm okay with that. But a lot's going on in Tucson. I just want to also announce that there was a big boxing match that's going to happen in January. Oscar Valdez, a Tucsonan, is going to come out and fight again in Tucson. That should be a big thing. It's on ESPN January 12th. They did not announce a venue, but I'm assuming that it's going to be at the TCC, the Tucson Convention Center. So a lot of things going on here in town in the next couple of months.
I'm looking forward to football, arena football next
year.
Oh,
and that too, yeah.
March, I guess, is that right?
March the 8th, I think, is the first game. March 3rd, March 10th.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Hey, we got Gabe on the phone. I asked Gabe to call. I love talking to Gabe, and we all know Gabe as Gabe, the former sports talk guy from a few years back. Gabe, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, Steve?
Fine, thank you. I wanted to get your take on the game. I know you're an ASU fan. What did you think of it and how it ended?
Well, I've been an ASU football fan since I was 6 years old. I mean, it's how I learned geography, by studying where their opponents were from. So, you know, now I'm approaching 60. So that's 54 years of fandom, and I'm an alum. So Sun Devil blood is very deep in me. It was 53 minutes of absolute torture watching that game. And then it was 7 minutes of ecstasy. I was watching it at home with my wife, and ASU was still down pretty big, probably double digits at the time. And the camera cut to the ASU sideline and showed a picture of Herm, and he was smiling and seemingly enjoying himself. And I said, my God, this guy must know something I don't, because his team's getting dominated and he seems to be having a great time. Obviously he knew something that I didn't. I've watched them all year long, and they've been in more, you know, one possession games than any other team in the country. But yeah, it was gut wrenching for 53 minutes, but that last 7 minutes made it all worthwhile.
You went to a number of games while you were here doing your job for what, 10, 15 years? How long were you on the air?
I was on the air for 10 years.
10 years. You've seen a number of these types of games. What did you think when Pollock lined up?
The first thought that went through my head is, I said, thank God this is not Max Zendejas. That was the first thought that went through my head. And I was pretty sure he was going to make it. I really thought the kid was going to make it. And I feel, you know, I feel crushed for the kid. You know, but I think he handled it like a true man, you know, with his apology to the fans and everything else. I don't think fans need that, but that impressed me. That's a good kid right there. And, you know, he will do great things with his life, I expect. And, you know, this kick, unfortunately, will be with him the rest of his life. But, you know, the game does not come down to Pollock's leg. You know, the game, there are so many, many areas you can point to and say, okay, if Arizona had just, then, you know, then Pollock's, nobody even knows his name other than he kicked 4 field goals. You know, I feel bad for kickers in that situation, but, you know, they're the guys that are off screwing around, you know, during practice when everybody else is busting their tail too. You know, they're out there on the sidelines just sort of playing water balloons and stuff like that, you know, working their Pet My Fish band and everything else. So I was pretty sure he was going to make it, but I was glad it wasn't Max and Dejas lining up.
Right, right, right. So after the press conference or after the game, the press conference happened, and you, I'm sure you saw it.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Well, I thought that Tate, who, you know, I don't know. I've never met the young man. You know, all I know about him is the stuff that I've read that you and Anthony and other people have written about him. I thought he was pretty churlish and childish. I thought that I'm glad that's not my quarterback, because he's unwilling to stand up front and take the bullets, when he should have. Those are his two mistakes. It's not Pollock's mistake that, that cost him the game. Those are two mistakes made by Khalil Tate that cost him the game. I was unimpressed with him.
Yeah, it's tough to come away liking the guy after that. Although he, I guess he had been, well, I know he had been that way a time or two on previous games.
I just don't like athletes that do that, because every athlete in the world is more than willing to stand there when the sun is shining bright on them and
sure.
say, look how great I am.
Sure.
But as soon as the going gets tough, you know, those that crawl under a rock like he did in this case, I have no respect for.
No, I know. And in your time, I want to say late 80s or to about 2000, around that the time, what did you remember anything like that?
From a player? An attitude from a player?
Yeah.
No, no. And I don't think Dick Tomey would have tolerated it.
No. I remember you asking Dick Tomey on a couple of instances, and Lute, when his players got like that, and they would write them up.
Yeah, I don't recall any player ever being like that. And, you know, and I was critical of players
when
I thought they deserved it. And, you know, and I was critical of coaches when I thought they deserved it. But all of them were always willing to stand up and answer the questions. You know, and in many cases, you know, they would say, I can understand why you thought that, Gabe, but this is my perspective. And, you know, there are two sides to every story. And, you know, and I would say, okay, well, you know, maybe my criticism was a little bit premature in this circumstance. So, no, they were always willing to stand up and take the bullet.
Right, right. Now that I recall, because the caller earlier said, was talking about that, and I, you know, I got into it with Jamel Horn a time or two, and I would have a difficult time every now and again with Salim Stoudemire. But you know what? Salim was great, because he would eventually answer the question, and he was Salim. You kind of expected stuff like that. But now him and I are good friends, and he's just a quiet guy, retrospective, and insightful when he wants to be.
Yeah, well, you know, when you had me in studio a few weeks ago, you had asked me the question on, you know, who was my favorite Wildcat basketball player, and I said Brian Williams.
Right.
or Bison Daley, you know, whatever we want to call him. He was Brian Williams to me. You know, and I related that story when they went back to Pitt and got hammered, and he and Sean Rooks combined for one rebound. And, you know, I called them names on the air. And they confronted me, you know, in the locker room after the next game, and said, you know, we heard that you called us. And I said, yes, I did, and this is why. And, you know, and we developed a great relationship from that. You know, we aren't all of the same opinion at all times in this world. And, you know, other people's opinions have just as much validity as mine does on many cases, because that's all this is. This is an opinion game. This is not a fact, you know, a black and white situation. I mean, you know, it's about opinions, and I respect, have great respect for people that will, you know, state their case and say, you know, yes, I made a mistake, and, you know, I'm willing to accept the consequences for it.
Right, right. Well, and that's how we'll leave it. Thank you for calling in, Gabe. I appreciate it. Always good
hey,
to talk
Steve,
to you.
Always fun.
Yes.
Always a blast, guy.
Great. See you soon. Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.
We're going to go to break here real quick, and I think we're going to come back on the other side with Ari Alexander of Channel 4.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit HughesFCU.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply. Insured by NCUA.
Sugar and spice makes holiday shopping nice. The bells are jingling, the holidays are near, so come to Fellowship Square Tucson and shop here. Join us for our holiday market open house on December 7th from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. There will be over 20 vendors with distinctive items for sale. Enjoy the sounds of harpist Christine Vivona as you shop and enjoy hot chocolate, cookies, and even a raffle. So come by and check out our holiday market open house. Call Janine to RSVP at 886-5537 or at fellowshipsquareseniorliving.org.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You're bringing your daughter to her favorite pop star's concert. Do you A, wear earplugs?
Isn't this fun, Dad?
I have a soft pretzel.
B, remember the moment with matching concert t-shirts.
That's going to be $180.
Or we can just take a photo.
C, show her how you used to do concerts.
We're going crowd surfing!
I can't! It's too heavy!
Oh my God!
Or D, just roll with it.
Woo! Justin! Look at him over here!
Justin! OMG! I love you, Justin! I love you!
When it comes to parenting, there are no perfect answers. But that's okay, because you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit adoptuskids.org/AZ. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Swap Shop trains are coming, rolling down that free market track.
Sunday mornings, you can buy, sell, or trade anything lawful and moral on the Swap Shop. Let's listen.
Hi, Caroline.
I have some Rhode Island Red laying hens that I would like to sell. They will be 2 years old come October, and I would like $15 a piece for them, please.
That'll give you something to cluck about, I'm sure.
520.
Swap Shop, Sundays 10 to 11 a.m., right before Liberty Watch.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters in what shapes up to be one of the most critical election years in our history.
The John C. Scott Show, weekday afternoons 3 to 5 on AM 1030 KBOI. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KBOI. We have our eye on politics.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball here on KBOI 1030 AM. I'm now on the phone with Ari Alexander of Channel 4. How are you, Ari?
Doing well. How are you doing, Steve?
Fine, thank you. I don't want to scare you with the music. You know, this is way before your time.
Oh, I used to work as a DJ at KCII Radio in Washington, Iowa, doing 60s, 70s, and 80s music, so it's right up my alley.
Oh, wow. This is cool. Hey, how long have you been in town? 2 years, 3 years?
3 years. About a month from now, it'll be exactly 3 years.
3 years. Okay, I'm sure you're having a great time here in Tucson. Wanted to ask, have you were at the game Saturday, correct?
Yes.
And what were your thoughts when the things were going down in the fourth quarter?
As I tweeted, I think Kevin Sumlin took some advice from Kirk Ferentz, Iowa's head coach. Yeah, I'm a big Iowa fan, and I always get very frustrated with how conservative Iowa's play calling has been for, 20 years now. And I think that's the same thing that happened. They got a 19-point lead and tried to milk the clock too early, and that's what happens when you play not to lose.
Right. No, it happens all the time. You see it happen all the time. What were your thoughts on how well they played for the first 52, 53 minutes?
I thought they were good. I thought they were able to move the ball at will. I know Arizona State has had games where their defenses looked really good, and they've had games where they haven't. And I thought Arizona didn't have a lot of trouble. They ran the ball fine. They got good movement up front with the offensive line. The receivers got open. I think Tony Ellison does a good job of getting open in the slot, and he can sneak out. And Sean Poindexter was beating all their corners without really much trouble. And then they just kind of shut down and cloistered up after having no trouble moving the ball.
Right. No, I thought it was probably the best 50-some minutes of the season because they were playing a halfway decent team. At least the competition was good. It wasn't Oregon State, if you will, or Colorado. And they handled themselves very well, and they had almost a 20-point lead. And then
put up 40 points early. That's a strong offensive performance. They were playing great for a while.
Yeah, no question. And Khalil looked fantastic. You know, he was making halfway good decisions. He had 3 touchdowns. Poindexter was doing exactly what he does. And then again, you talked about them slowing it down, and then ASU coming full force in the final 7 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's one of those games that you're going to remember for a long time if you're an ASU fan. Same with 2 years ago if you're an Arizona fan, where they, you know, won without throwing a pass in the second half. And this one, you know, where it's only a few days away and we're kind of talking about it now, but I think years down the line, the 20-point fourth quarter comeback is going to be a big thing for ASU fans.
Right, right, right. And this rivalry, as you probably already know, is a kooky one because of just the crazy things that happen. And this is just one of the many.
Yeah, I'm glad to, you know, two out of the three territorial cups I've covered have been nuts. So I'm kind of glad to see it one way or the other. Obviously, you know, I don't really care who wins, but if from the sense of have these games been interesting, 2 of the 3 years, they've been really interesting.
Right, right. So go back to Saturday. I think, are you in studio Saturday? Are you handling the show?
I was doing a lot of things. We were field anchoring right after the game, so I was kind of running around doing everything. But I was watching, obviously.
What was the opening? What was the main story? Them losing? Was it the press conference? What was it?
Main story is it was the highlights. So just them, essentially them losing. You build up this 40-21 lead, and then blow a 19-point lead in 13 minutes, and then we broke that down on Sunday as well, where I went through kind of point by point of all maybe fan concerns or media concerns of how you lose the 2-point conversions, the conservative play calling, and then picking Josh Pollock to kick over Lucas Haversick.
Right. You know, that hasn't been discussed much, but in fact, I talked to Michael Lev on Monday about it. At what point do you decide who to go with? Had they not scored or moved that ball maybe eight yards that last play, they might have gone with the other kicker.
I think it's part of it, and this is different in the pros than it is in college, because Pollock's a senior. It's his last game. Haversick's a sophomore, so I do think there is some sentimentality there involved, partially because Pollock had been playing well. He went 4 for 4, kicked a 40-yard field goal earlier. It's only 5 more yards, and he is a senior in his last game, and it would just – you just kind of don't – you let the guy kick, you know, give the shot to the senior. And this isn't the pros where – you know, you miss a kick or you shank one punt, you're going to get cut.
Yep.
And so that's part of why I think they gave him the shot. But Haversick is your long guy and Pollock is your steady, consistent, shorter guy. So I am a little surprised that they didn't say, look, it's 45. We know that Haversick is good from distance. We're going to give it to him as just part of the math play.
Right, right, right. Well, we'll never know after that. Cause that wasn't discussed at the end of the press conference. But what did you make of the press conference with Khalil?
I mean, I think Khalil is Khalil. I know he doesn't like doing media. So
right. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't surprise me. He's uncomfortable with it. And some kids are, and some kids really like doing it. He doesn't. And so nothing with him being quiet and him giving short answers never surprised me, because I know he's just not very comfortable doing it.
Right, right. No, I agree with you. In fact, we rarely spoke to him all year. I mean, maybe in late August was one of those times, and maybe a couple of times in post game in Tucson.
Yeah, it's a little strange that your star quarterback, a guy that before the season Arizona was running a low level Heisman campaign for, and as much as the university doesn't want to say, we're trying to run a Heisman campaign, you don't let SI do a cover story on your quarterback without knowing what the reason behind that is, and that's to give him more attention. And then throughout the year, He wasn't, I don't think he was at a single one of these Tuesday player interviews that we did every week, and then just only a handful of post games. I do think he was at most of the post games. But yeah, it's very strange that, I know that the Heisman stuff went away very early, but if you're going to give your quarterback attention, give your quarterback attention.
Right. No question. There was a misdirect there, I think, at the beginning, and then they didn't know where to go with it after that.
It's very strange, but that's all college sports at this point. The media policies are so restrictive at almost every major university, and it's a task covering it.
No question. The good thing is you only have like 2 or 3 minutes to get that baby filled, but you also need sound bites. And if you don't get sound bites, what do you get?
I know. It's that is the one thing I will say that radio has the advantage over TV is, you can talk for hours about whatever's going on and dissect whatever a guy said, if it was a sentence or, a 10-minute soundbite or whatever. With TV, we kind of got to shorten it up. You do need the sound bites and you need interesting stories. And so sometimes when that doesn't happen, you're kind of left without anything.
Right. Let's move I'm getting gold. See what's going to happen to you when you get old? It's not good, but let's talk about Sean Miller yesterday. Were you in the press conference?
I was not. So yesterday was my day off, but I looked at a little bit of it. I saw he was talking about his four kids that Arizona signed. They've got the number one recruiting class in the country, and I know a little bit about a few of the players.
So what did you see? Think of his demeanor?
It's typical Sean Miller, a little defiant, and he does what he does, and he's got his style, and I think that he's very proud of the fact that Arizona has all this negative attention on the program, and it hasn't hurt recruiting basically at all. You have the number one class in the face of all that.
Right. No, I agree with you. He is. He was exactly what you're saying, and I think his main message was exactly that, where under all this scrutiny or whatever word you want to use, he's still pulling off of these types of players for the number one class.
Yeah, he locked down Arizona. That's what, you're supposed to do. I know that basketball especially, football is very regionalized. Basketball isn't as much where, you see Raleigh Hawkins is from Brooklyn, and Arizona pulls kids from Georgia, from the Atlanta Celtics AAU team with Kobe Simmons, for instance. You can get basketball kids from anywhere. But Arizona did a good job of locking up Arizona. Nico Mannion's from Phoenix. He's going to Arizona. Terry Armstrong is not originally, but he transferred to a Scottsdale school. Arizona got in on him. They got him. Josh Green is at IMG, but he's originally from Phoenix. They got him via Australia, but they got him. And so all these kids that are really good in the Arizona area, they're all going to Arizona. And so I think that's part of that Sean Miller was proud of, is that doesn't matter what, you see all these things in the media that are negative about his program, he's still going to lock down the state of Arizona.
Right, no question. And it comes at a great time, perfect timing. With Ayton, his situation a year or so ago, or Barcelo with his situation in Phoenix, and the kids you mentioned, which obviously helps and will help in the future, and we'll see what the future holds down the road. What do you make of this team?
The current Arizona team, I don't know. It's tough to
tough
to make a lot of them because we haven't seen much. They've played a couple teams that are really good. Gonzaga's obviously really good. Iowa State, I think, is a pretty good team. Auburn is really good, and they struggled against two of those three teams. There's a couple guys who can play. Brandon Williams can score. Brandon Randolph can score. I still think defense is an issue, and for the first time in years since Arizona's had, two seven-footers on their team for 5 years now, size is a huge issue. Arizona's going to get out-rebounded a whole bunch this year, and so I think that's something that Miller isn't necessarily used to coaching. But I was really impressed with Justin Coleman.
Right. I think everybody is. Right. Everybody.
I was not expecting that. Everyone was making comparisons to PJC, and Parker Jackson Cartwright was a solid player for a few years, but Coleman's way more aggressive.
Oh, no question. No question. And he had to be. If Arizona was going to succeed in Maui, he had to be.
Yeah, he played well, and but you want to see some stuff from your big guys. I know Chase Jeter and Ryan Luther, for the most part, kind of struggled in Maui, and you really need Jeter to play well, because based on what I've noticed from sitting on the floor and shooting, Jeter's your leadership guy. He's the guy that calls out all the stuff on defense and offense, and he tells all the younger guys where to be on the court.
Yeah, well, that's a perspective you get to have. That's a good perspective. Now he just needs to play up to, I think, his potential.
We'll see what he's a big guy. He can play. He's a defense and a rebounding guy, so if you're expecting him to go out and drop 24 points and take 11, 13, 15 shots, it's probably not going to happen.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there might need to be a game where, especially if Arizona's playing a team that's not big, that they're going to have to funnel everything inside through him, and maybe that'll give them some confidence.
Right. Well, Ari, thanks for joining me on the show. We'll probably have you on more down the road. Thank you for your time.
All right, would love to, Steve. Congratulations on the show. It's wonderful so far, and hopefully you keep having success.
Great. Thank you, Ari. We'll see you soon. Appreciate it.
All right. All right, thanks, Steve. Bye. Right,
bye. And we're going to go to break here real quick. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to Ari for coming on the show.
Hey, I'm Lorena with La Hacienda Family Mexican Restaurant. My dad started in the restaurant business as a dishwasher before I was born. He worked his way up through various positions and later started his own restaurant. For over 5 years, we have been serving delicious Jalisco-style Mexican cuisine in Tucson. Our food is a labor of love stemming from the most authentic and traditional recipes. Bring your family to have lunch or dinner with my family at First Avenue and Tangerine or at LaHaciendaAZ.com.
Next year's fondest memories begin with this year's Lexus December to Remember sales event. Right now, get Lexus cash and dealer discounts on all models with up to $11,000 off the new 2018 LS500. Get incredibly low interest rate financing and exceptional lease offers on your favorite models. Hurry in. All offers on approved credit and expire 12/3/18. See dealer for details at Lexus of Tucson on Speedway at Columbus, at the Auto Mall, or lexusoftucson.com.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll free at 888-881-5765.
Kiowa weighed just 1 pound, 1 ounce at birth and endured a grueling 163 days in the hospital. Thanks to research funded by the March of Dimes, Kaya survived premature birth, the number one killer of babies in the United States. The birth of a child is supposed to be a joyful event, yet each year about 380,000 babies like Kaya are born too soon, and many have serious health problems that can last a lifetime. But you can change that. Join 3 million friends, families, and colleagues in more than 500 communities across the nation in March for Babies. The money we raise is so important in fighting premature birth and other life-threatening challenges that newborns face. We're supporting research and programs that help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthier babies. Sign up, join a team, and start fundraising today at marchforbabies.org. Together, we can fight premature birth and help more babies be born healthy.
No more knowledgeable woman than Dawn English and her irresistible Tucson food and culture in the Old Pueblo. From 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk. Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network. 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030, trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. I'm Steve Rivera, the host. We're going to continue to talk about Arizona football and Arizona basketball. It's just kind of a hot topic right now with Arizona basketball. The men playing tomorrow, Sean having his press conference yesterday, and still kind of fresh from the U of A ASU football game where Arizona all but gave the game away. On the phone, I think we have now is Anthony Jamito. How are you, Anthony?
Hey, Steve.
Bob's funny. I know. I was going to say, you have a fan in Bob. So that's one.
Yeah.
Sometimes
that's all it takes.
Yeah, he references the book a lot. That your stories were better than mine, but I won't go there. I won't go there.
Okay.
Hey,
that's what he said.
Oh, that's what Anthony said? Yeah, he's fired.
Yeah.
Hey,
fired from what?
From whatever we got. Hey, how exciting was yesterday's press conference with Sean?
Exciting? Yes. Somewhat interesting. It is as if Sean kind of walked in with a big chip on his shoulder and I don't know, he kind of walked in a little bit angry, as Ari referenced, defiant. That's exactly how I described it a little bit yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he kind of went through the first 2-3 minutes just talking about the superhuman recruiting effort it took to get this class, which you got to admit, I mean, nobody saw this coming back in April when they didn't have anybody for 2018.
Right.
Let alone 2019. You know, and the whole counting out the letters of intent thing was a little...
dramatic.
A little dramatic, yeah. But, you know, he's got a fantastic class. He was able to use some long-standing relationships. These are mostly guys that they had been working on for a number of years. And... just as when Brandon Williams recommitted back in the spring, you know, Nico Mannion's commitment in mid-September was a signal that Arizona was back on green lights. You know, you could come here and do well. And like Sean referenced, he's the kind of point guard other players want to play with.
Right, kind of a not that he has the same style, but a Mike Bibby-like guy where you'll get better by playing him, and everybody will enjoy the wealth.
I guess. I mean, one of the things I wrote yesterday was his combination of size, first of all, size and being a more offensive minded than some of Sean Miller's point guards here. He's going to be really unique. You can't point to anybody in Sean Miller's time here at Arizona and say Nico Mannion is going to be like this guy. So he's going to be different. He's going to be unique. And that's probably a good thing because Sean really hasn't had that kind of that modern day look for your own shot point guard combined with that kind of size.
Right, right. He does have one now, kind of.
Except he's 5'10", and, you know, Mark Lyons wasn't a big dude. And,
right, right.
And the fact that this kid's 6'2", 6'3", and has high basketball IQ combined with an offensive skill set, put that all together. We haven't seen that embodied in one guy before here in Arizona.
No.
Under Sean.
No, not at all. It's funny, though, I was going to ask you about Justin Coleman. Where did you see this coming? I know you didn't see this coming because I know I didn't.
We didn't see. He's not going to shoot whatever he shot, 10 of 18, 11 of 19 from three like he did in Maui. But I guess I'm not nearly as shocked as you are because I kind of thought he could be this guy, at least more than he showed in the first three home games. And my take on that was early in the season against inferior opponents, Coleman kind of deliberately got everybody else involved. He got, you know, there's so many freshmen, sophomores in new roles that it was his job in those first three games to build up everybody else's confidence. And then once he got to Maui and those games were tight and the competition increased, he read the room and said, I got to be more of a scorer. And because even when he wasn't looking for his own shot in the first three games, you could tell he's got a little, he's got a lot of bulldog in him.
Yes.
Whether it's offensively, defensively. And I don't think he came here to be a wallflower.
Verbally.
So, is he going to be that 20-plus point scorer every game? I doubt it just because I don't think nobody can sustain shooting like that. But if Arizona needs a go-to guy, he's certainly option A right now.
Option A, then you have the Brandons who were B and C, if that's possible.
Yep.
But that gives you hope. I think it gives you hope because now you have some options, at least on the perimeter, to score. Let me also say that it looks like they have a chance to finish maybe even higher in the league, as bad as it is. You saw that Oregon lost to Texas Southern a couple of days ago.
Yeah, this league's not very good. I mean, we just got to – that's the point. I mean, Arizona's picked fourth, and I don't see him really sliding
any worse than that.
Beyond that,
no.
It's still now in Maui. We saw a lot of Arizona's weaknesses were exposed against Gonzaga and Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
Those are top 10 teams. We did not think Arizona was a top 10 team, so this should not be surprising to us that they couldn't compete for 40 minutes. I think the fact that they competed for
32, 35,
36 minutes isn't a killer. I mean, Ira Lee sounded downright chipper yesterday about how they were able to play in Maui. And I think all it taught us was what we already knew, that they're not a top 10 team. Maybe they're a top 20 team. Maybe they're a top 25 team, which means they can beat pretty much everybody in the Pac-12.
Right, right.
But we don't know that yet. I mean, we don't know exactly what their ceiling is. Maybe they're really only a top 40 team, which means they're going to lose. You know, they're going to struggle in a number of games and lose a handful of those.
Right, and we won't be able to determine what that is because the schedule doesn't really gauge much.
No, I mean, they have to go to UConn real soon. And
they're not very good.
No, but didn't they beat Syracuse? Is that right?
I'm not too sure. And then Alabama on the road.
Somebody that go to Alabama, the Greg Byrne reunion tour. And... You know, Alabama's not as good as they were in the last couple of years, but still, that's a pretty decent game to gauge yourself against in a true road game. But other than that, you got to wait till conference season, and you start playing teams that are a little bit similar to you in talent, like a Washington. I think ASU is really good, to be honest with you.
I do too. I do too.
ASU maybe a little bit better than Arizona. We'll see. We were kind of saying that this time last year. Didn't work out that way. They got Utah's always good. And, of course, Oregon and UCLA, just on flat-out talent, are probably superior. USC. So there'll be a number of games on which Arizona can gauge itself. And that will ultimately determine how good or bad this season is.
Right. I was talking to Doug Haller on Monday from the ASU game, and he spoke, and I said, well, can you maybe re-vote or whatever you want? He went Oregon, ASU, U of A. And I was a little shocked at that. But then I saw Oregon lose, so I'm thinking it could be anybody's game.
Could be. I mean, UCLA was totally outclassed last week when they played good competition. And kind of the same thing, same complaints you would have about UCLA as in years mm-hmm. past mm-hmm. or recent years. They're not tough, they're not physical, and they do not appear to be particularly well coached.
Yep, three
but
strikes.
They'll always play, Steve, they will always play their best game against Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. Yes, they do, and so does everybody else. So that's what Arizona has to contend with. Let's go to break here. Are you going to stay with me for the next segment? We'll talk a little about the football game.
Sure.
Okay, great. Bob, let's go to break, and thanks everybody for listening.
Hey, this is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. It's that time.
U of A tailgating.
I gotta have one of those burgers and one of those dogs, and who's under this Arizona Party Rental tent? You look familiar.
That's right, I'm Sheriff Napier.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
Hey, you're Ken Flower. Aren't you wanted?
I'm speechless.
That's right, everybody wants Arizona Party Rental.
Hey, you can join the party too. Arizona Party Rental just west of Alvernon on Speedway or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized as the number one credit union across all of Arizona by Forbes. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer higher savings rates, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/bestcreditunion. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
Being there matters, and your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America when piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief, your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters. And America's Navy is already there.
Today, nearly half our nation's fighting forces are members of the Guard and Reserve. When they are called to active duty, they leave behind a family, a community, and a job. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, a Department of Defense agency, honors and protects the bond between service members and their civilian employers. Whether serving our country or supporting those who do, we all serve. To learn more about ESGR, call 1-800-336-4590 or visit esgr.mil.
Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. Join us for the Thursday show. Congressman David Schweikert will be calling in. Sarah Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star editorial page will be here. And we finish the show with Richard Hernandez, maybe running for Pima County Supervisor. Wake Up Tucson, 1030 KVOI, trusted local news and talk.
Wake Up Tucson, mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk. AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on Tucson.
Welcome back, everybody, to Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030 AM. I'm Steve Rivera, the host. I'm on with Anthony Jamino of AllSportsTucson.com and ArizonaMaven.com. If you want to know anything about Arizona, read it at Arizona Maven. Anthony does a good job with that. I try to keep up with that at allsportstucson.com. I try to. I won't say that I do. Let's go football. Can you talk about football and what you saw on Saturday? You were on the field when the collapse happened. I was up in the booth.
Right.
Was it more crazy on the field than in the booth?
It was hard to believe what we were seeing. And
how did the crowd shift
down there?
How did the crowd shift?
Well, you heard a lot of ASU chants from that northwest corner of the stadium. It was loud. It was nervous, and you know, Ricky Huntley was down there, and I kind of caught his eye, and he just kind of shook his head at me as. It was probably after that, the fumble.
Yeah.
But in the last, you know, in the Arizona's last drive, I was down in the south end zone. And so all the, you know, those plays, some of those pass plays into the end zone were coming right in my direction. And, you know, whether it was Khalil, overthrowing a guy or a guy kind of dropping a potentially catchable pass in the end zone. Those were right there, and they looked really good when the ball's in the air, and you're thinking something great's going to happen. I didn't really have a feel for when Pollock came out, just watching and trying to see what I could see. And but he kind of knew right away, and I was standing pretty much, you know, right behind the goalpost there, and you knew once you saw the ball get past the line of scrimmage, you could see it
fading away
off target. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny because you and I had spoken most of the game because we sit next to each other and we talked, cause we thought it was going to be a close game and, it wasn't.
But we were right.
But no. I was kind of going to go there. It wasn't a close game. And then we kept saying, well, if Arizona State's going to make the run, they're going to do it now. And then they didn't do it. Eventually, they started to do it. And everything that you and I had been talking about was kind of happening. And it was kind of bizarre. But then you think, two things have to happen. Three things have to happen. They got to score, get the 2 points. They got to score, they got to get the 2 points. And then the fumbles and then the interception and then holy crap.
Yeah, I know. And not that I'm defending it. I mean, I know someone's getting a lot of heat for taking his foot off the accelerator and kind of going into kill the clock mode a little bit early, but it probably would have worked without the turnovers.
Oh, sure.
But that's also the risk you take too, right? I mean, you don't score and you're just trying to run the clock. Well, you put yourself at risk of making a mistake that can hurt you as opposed to doing what you were doing, which was highly successful. Because I didn't think, you know, just looking from the press box, ASU couldn't stop Sean Poindexter one-on-one. They couldn't guard him one-on-one. So if they're guarding him one-on-one, you have that option. That's a good option to go to. If they were double, if they were going to double team him, then something else is open. Sean Brown. Sean Brown had a pretty good game.
J.J. Taylor.
Or they're taking somebody else out of the box, which helps J.J. Taylor. But instead, they just went to predictable runs, which made them easier to defend.
No,
so I thought they had ASU on its heels because Arizona always had a good option, no matter how ASU's defense played them. The only way to help ASU was to be predictable.
Right. And they became that.
They did.
In the final 7 minutes. You've been through a number of these because you covered the team in the 90s. Is this as strange as some of the other ones you've covered?
Yeah. You know, I tweeted right at the end of it that this was, you know, among all the crazy games I've seen, this is right there with, you know, it fits among the crazy. And somebody tweeted back like, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. This is par for the course. And like, no, I'm pretty sure I know what I'm talking about here. From an Arizona perspective, it's up there with the 92 game where they lose 7-6, height of the desert swarm for Arizona. And the only time they let ASU across midfield is when Kevin Galbraith runs for the touchdown. And they lose despite totally owning that game. And then the game several years ago where Alex and Dejas had the field goal and the PAT block. Those to me were the two biggest gut punches Arizona has taken in this series, at least in the last 35 years since the streak started. Arizona has delivered a bunch, many, many more to Arizona State in that time. So this is, for Arizona fans, it's a little bit of taste of what ASU fans have had to deal with over the years. But I think those three games, you know, including this one, are going to be the ones that are hard to forget for Arizona fans.
Right. And then I think we'll go to something after this. The press conference where you saw Khalil kind of beat Khalil, that kind of is going to be remembered as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, plenty of other people have commented on that. I don't really have anything new to add to that.
Well,
except if I was Khalil, and I'm hoping of an NFL future and all these kind of things, and if I don't like doing media or I'm not comfortable, I would go to my coaches, my communication staff, and say just like he would during the week at a practice, coach me up.
Yeah.
How do, you know, what should I be prepared for? How should I react? What's my tone? You know, what should my tone be? You know, help me out here. It was an unforced error. It was a standard, legitimate question asked in a non-threatening way. I mean, it was just a regular old question that you figure he should be prepared for, like he would be prepared for a certain defensive look.
Which one were you talking about? Which question are you talking about?
Well, the one about the interception.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking you were talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the one, are you coming back to do this?
No, and, you know, that was a no comment, which I get. You can answer that, you know, you can answer that a little bit better than no comment. Again, it wasn't asked in a threatening, accusatory way. It was just a question, and you could say, well, it's, you know, this game just ended. I haven't really thought about that yet, but
sure.
I hope to talk with my coaches real soon or something. You know, no comments, just it's not the right
answer. It was actually no question. I mean, next question.
Next question, okay. Yeah.
Next question. So it was just the tone of the whole thing, and you know how he is. He kind of did that to me earlier this year in a lighter way, asking me a question how he looked, and it wasn't for me to say.
None of this makes him a bad kid or anything,
no.
But it shows that, you know, he just turned 20 years old during the season, and you know, it's not out of left field to say that in some aspects, he's got some maturing to do.
Right. In your
maybe
time,
he'll get there. Hope he does.
Yeah. When he may not be around to deal with it, at least down in Tucson. We'll soon see.
Maybe, but he'll have to deal with it
somewhere
other places, other times, in more difficult settings.
Yeah, no question. If he continues to advance or do whatever he does, no question he'll have to deal with it more. Yeah. In your time, you and I have covered some of the same guys, not all the same guys. Can you recall anybody doing this back in the day, being a little surly? And
well, I'm sure there have been guys. If Khalil had been just, you know, kind of overcome with emotion and devastation, yeah, I get that. He wouldn't want to talk because we've seen that a lot, especially when you get into the basketball. And
well,
the
we dealt with it. We dealt with it in Chicago.
Oh, that losing locker room is
horrible.
You don't want to be there. And if you know, how many times have we seen guys and in that setting, they're sitting by the locker with their head down or a towel over their head, and I think most of the times we say, that's good. I don't need to talk to him.
Correct.
Let him be. That's fine, you know. We're not going to invade that emotional territory.
You and I both.
That wasn't the case here Saturday night with Khalil. He was answering questions, and he was up there. And it's not like he had been so distraught that he couldn't talk.
Right. You and I both had been at Rosemont in 2005, 2006, whatever it was.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to happen, eventually. If you don't win it all, you're going to have that locker room at some point.
Exactly.
And so if you're in a lot of those locker rooms, and sometimes, you know, maybe you slide on up and say, hey, do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
Right.
And if they say no, or if they say, you know, not now, whatever, like,
you come back.
Get that. No problem.
Sure.
You know, that's totally fine.
Sure. I still remember T.J. McConnell when they lost for that last time, and he was done. Uh-huh. I mean, he was distraught as all of them. That type of situation.
Jamel Horn, after the regional final game against Duke in 2011, he was all alone in the locker room by himself, head again, same thing, head down. And at the time, you know, he had missed the late three-pointer, so it's worth, and he was a senior, it was worth getting some of his thoughts on the game. And so we asked the sports information guy at the time, Tom Duddleston, like, hey, can you talk to Jamel and just see if he wants to, you know, if he wants to talk to the media? And Tom, you know, kind of crouched down and talked to Jamel for a couple minutes, and Jamel agreed to. He's like, yeah, give him a couple minutes and he'll talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we kind of respectfully went up to him, and then he answered all the questions and answered them with some heartfelt responses. Some honest responses. But you know, he had to give him some time so he could get to that point, which was fine.
Right. Well, Anthony, thanks for calling in. I always enjoy talking to you in this form, not in my real form in the day-to-day. You know how that goes.
Yeah, I got you. Just stop texting me.
Just Google it. Just Google it. All right. Thanks, Anthony. We'll see you tomorrow or talk to you guys tomorrow. Another great show with Ari Alexander, Anthony Jamino, DeGiomonico, Pima. Let's try to do this again tomorrow.